Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We take our text from the lesson read for today, particularly verse 3 of chapter 3 of St. John's Gospel, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In George Garrett's fascinating novel, Death of the Fox, he describes the last hours of life of Sir Walter Raleigh. After 17 years of imprisonment in the Tower of London, the final moments of his life arrive. The usual prayers are said. Sir Walter gives a magnificent confession of faith in Jesus Christ, followed by a moving speech to those who have condemned him to death. Then in the cool of the morning, he places his head upon the block. The executioner nudges him and says, "Sir, it is customary that one who is to be beheaded place his head in such a fashion that his eyes face the east and the rising of the sun." To which, with a courage almost beyond belief and with a penetration which seems to probe the very depths of the realities of man's condition, Sir Walter replies, "So long as the heart is right, it is no matter which way the head lies." In fact, there's a flash of steel, and it's over. So long as the heart is right, it is no matter which way the head lies. And in the existential moment of one's passage from this life to eternity, one could do no less than agree. And yet, doesn't that pose the major problem that we face in life? How is it that a heart can be made right? Stanley Baldwin says to the British, "There shall never be a better Briton till there are better Britons." And he's right. But how can one effect such a dramatic change? How is this to happen? We ask ourselves, don't we? How can there be a better I? How can I have a heart that is pure and right and good? And the absolute futility of turning over a new leaf, of trying again, of expending more and more effort comes into sharp focus as we attempt that and fail miserably. It simply cannot do. Philip Schaff, remarking about the rather remarkable movement of the godly men into monasteries at various points in church history, says that they fled from the world, but they could not flee from their worst enemy, namely themselves. And that is true. There's a parallel in my life, and I presume there's a parallel in yours as well. Scripture tells us that the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The attempt to clean up the exterior is as futile as attempting effectively to whitewash a rusted piece of metal. Just the scraping of a fingernail over the surface reveals the encrustment beneath. Scripture tells us again, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And we know it's true. In our experience, we have precisely taken the law of God, the perfect will of God for us, and broken it into tiny fragments in our own experience. We know that is true. Everything that befalls us, death and judgment in hell, we deserve. What can I do to make my life clean again? What can I do to purify my heart? And the answer must come back, nothing. Absolutely nothing. They tell me that if you are ever to repair a cracked cast bell, you must absolutely despair of the possibility, unless you are willing to melt down the metal again and recast that bell. Jesus put it well, didn't he? Precisely, as he says to Nicodemus, you must be born again, in effect. He's saying that only the creative activity of God, effective in my life, in your life, in the life of all men, only that can do the job that is necessary. And here again, in the octave of the festival of the Trinity, we see the work of the Holy Trinity effective in that great work. Verse 16, verse 1, tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And verse 15 tells us the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. And verse 5 of chapter 3 of St. John, our text, tells us, truly, truly, I say to you, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The Father gives the Son on our behalf. Christ Jesus, our Lord, goes into the world willingly and suffers and bleeds and dies upon the cross for your sins and for mine, for the sins of the whole world. The Holy Spirit, working through the Word of God and through the Holy Sacrament of baptism, brings us to faith, that faith by which we apprehend the forgiveness of sin, that faith which is received as a gift. Then we are reborn. And amazingly, in this way is brought to fruition the haunting words of Tennyson, who writes wistfully, oh, for a man to rise in me, that the man I am may cease to be. That only happens by the grace of God, the God who loves us in Jesus Christ and gives us a new heart and a new spirit. And the beat goes on, however. For we never are released from the old man. Yes, a new man and a new heart is given to me, but that old heart and that old man still beats and still lives. There's a conflict within me. God's grace in word and sacrament is just as necessary, and thank God, just as bountifully available for our use every day of our lives. So Walter, you said it well. So long as the heart is right, it is no matter which way the head lies. And as we look by faith to the God of all grace and mercy, he and he alone makes this a reality in our lives today and every day. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, mount guard like a sentinel about our hearts and our minds, through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.